Morning sunshine, increase in clouds, showers, and the buzzards on the way. Channel 3 meteorologist Holly Strano says temperatures will fall through the 40s, 30s tonight, and snow showers expected tomorrow. We've got 46 right now at your severe weather station.
Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
The deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's ways to save. What a week he has had. All sorts of items to help us with our life. Yesterday, we looked a lot better after that face treatment that Matt had for us. A little tech today for a smartphone. Morning, Matt. What you got for us?
All right. Let me paint a picture for you.
All right.
You spent what everyone else spends these days on a smartphone, whether or not you're paying for it through through a monthly payment plan or whatever. It's basically $1,000.
Yep. Yep.
You get your phone home. It's got facial recognition, fingerprints, can unlock your car, can do all these crazy things, can build a rocket ship. But it cannot make a call properly.
It can do everything but that.
Can't hear you. Oh, maybe move to the window. I'm going through a tunnel. There's bad weather. I'm at an airport. Never works. Doesn't matter what phone you have. The one thing it's supposed to do, it barely does. So my favorite deal today is made by a very high-end audio company. Obviously, you're not paying us to talk about them. They're called Focal.
Mm-hmm.
And this Bluetooth streaming headset is ideal for streaming the iHeartMedia apps. I can hear you every morning wherever I am. But the second that call comes in, you get beautiful noise isolation technology and then a pair of headphones that'll work with you at the gym and beyond. We're talking waterproof, life-proof, and perfect.
So I'm taking this and connecting to my smartphone?
Completely wireless. So for those times where your smartphone's nowhere near you, awesome. For those times when you want to listen to your music, listen to your podcasts and audiobooks, you can do that all. But at the end of the day, it's a phenomenal noise isolation pair of headphones.
All right, I've already spent $1,000 on this phone. What's this thing going to cost me?
That's the thing. These usually actually retail for about $100, so we're taking a zero off at $29.99, merely because this is a model that is about to get an update in about 6 months.
Okay.
So they are clearing, and I say make your move.
I like it. Deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's ways to save. See, you can't hear half the time, right? Okay. This thing will help you on your smartphone if you're listening on the iHeart app. Back Monday with some great savings. Watch him on 3. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Granite. Thanks, partner. In 5, Fox's Chris Wallace will join me. A little preview of Fox News Sunday. See if he thinks Vice President Joe Biden, former VP Biden's going to get in the race. Plus, latest from Christchurch, at least 40 dead, they say, in the shooting at that mosque. Or Bill Zemfer will join me on News Radio WTAM 1100. That story breaking overnight. 5:15, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Depend on us for sports. Mornings, 15 and 45 past. Here's Mike.
Good morning, Bill. It was over early in Orlando last night.
Augustine left side. Step back three. Got it. Augustine now has 14 points. The Magic have opened up a 61-39 lead with 25 seconds to go.
That was in the first half. They led by 16. Orlando did after one. The Cavs just never in this game. 120-91, the final. The Magic still alive in the playoff hunt in the East, and the Cavs fall to 17-52. Colin Sexton did score 23 for the Cavs, who will wrap up their road trip in Orlando tomorrow. College basketball last night marked the return of Duke's Zion Williamson, and what a return it was.
Cross-court, it's Bayhan in on Reddish. The longer player forced the pass, and now a steal by Zion. And a run out, and a right-handed rack attack that sends this place into a frenzy.
He's different. 13 of 13 from the field for Zion Williamson. 29 points. Duke wins 84-72 in the quarterfinals of the ACC. Next up, they play North Carolina. That was the game in which the shoe blew out and he sprained his knee. But the knee looks fine. And you can check out his show last night. Go to the Wills and Snyder page. Scooter has it posted at WTAM.com. Elsewhere in the big tournament, Ohio State got a win. The Buckeyes knock off Indiana 79-75. They meet Michigan State today. And in the MAC tournament at the Q, Akron and Kent both knocked out yesterday. Late last night, though, Bowling Green did win to advance to the MAC Final Four. Browns have certainly won the offseason on the huge acquisition of flamboyant Odell Beckham. Browns GM John Dorsey says,
well, Pat, you know, you can't have enough competitive football players. And we all understand the magnitude of his ability to play the game football. And he's a good football player, and you can't have enough weapons around you, and you know, He's a really good asset to have on our football team.
Well, he's flamboyant, and there's a lot of stuff that has gone on with him. But Odell's having a little fun with people. He tweeting yesterday, "I am not a Cancer. I'm a Scorpio. Sorry for the confusion." He also tweeted, "Dog pound, I'll give you everything I got." I guess he's out of the country on vacation, so I'm not sure when his first press conference will be here, but that will be a show in itself. The Browns did add offensive lineman Eric Cush yesterday. He's got a Dorsey connection who drafted him in Kansas City, but he was most recently with the Bears. Baseball, Indians beat the Rockies 9-3. The story in this one, though, Shane Bieber, 5 scoreless, no-hit innings on the mound as he looks ready to go. Tribe will meet the Rangers today at 4:05 with Carlos Carrasco on the mound, and you can hear it right here. Tom Hamilton, Jim Rosenhaus with the call. Now, coming up at 5:45, with all this talent and all the personalities, does GM John Dorsey have any concern about first-year head coach Freddie Kitchens keeping everything together? That's coming up at sports at 5:45. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAF.
Fox's Chris Wallace on the way first.
I tell you that as at 7 p.m. tonight, we believe that 40 people have lost their lives in this act of extreme violence.
This, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, as she spoke last night, originally the number at 40, 49 confirmed dead this morning. More in-depth on this breaking story. Been following it through the night. Bill Zimpfer. Bill, good morning. Where was it? What was it? What happened? What do we know here?
Well, it occurred in the town of Christchurch, New Zealand, and in the middle of Friday prayers, which were taking place at about 1:40 p.m. local time on Friday, a gunman entered 2 different mosques in that town and opened fire. And as we heard from Vic just a short time ago, at least 49 people are dead at this hour, but that death toll is expected to go up. More than 20 others have been seriously wounded after these shootings in what has been described as a definite terror attack by, you heard it, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. Now, one person is under arrest. The police commissioner says that this man in his late 20s is an Australian citizen. That person has been charged with murder. 3 other people were taken into custody. Their involvement, if any, still not known at this point. But we do have this one person who has been arrested in connection with this. The motive, thought to be anti-immigrant. The gunman reportedly published a manifesto denouncing immigration. And also, just an horrific event here that the gunman apparently, Bill, posted online as it was happening. Just a terrible situation. We're getting reaction from around the world now, and also news that you can expect very tight security at mosques around the world today.
49 dead, Christchurch, New England. Many still in the hospital. Bill Zimpfer with a story on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome, Bill.
5:24, politics in 2020. Fox's Chris Wallace with a preview of Fox News Sunday. And let me ask you about Joe. Vice President Joe Biden, since we last talked, our Ohio senator, Sherrod Brown, says, no, I'm not going to make a run. A lot of people thought it was because of former Vice President Biden maybe getting in the race. Chris, what do you think, huh?
I love the way you ask, like I know. It sure appears that, and I think there'll be a lot of disappointed people if he doesn't. And I also think he has to worry about everybody else sweeping his thunder now that Beto O'Rourke is in, and I don't know how much his staying power is going to be, but he's sure the bright, shiny new object on the stage. And, you know, I think that Biden's talking about April or May for a rollout. This field might be off and running, and you've given him too much of a head start. And it'll be interesting to see. The first debate, I think, is in June, so obviously he has to be in if he's going to run by then. And I just wonder, I don't have a conclusion on this, but you know, it'll be interesting to see on the stage folks like Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, who were in their later 70s, along with people like Beto O'Rourke and Kamala Harris, who were in their 30s and 40s.
And it seems like with every new candidate, the further left they want to take the country, if indeed they were to get the nomination.
Well, some yes, some no. Yeah. I mean, there are definitely your lanes. The left wing lane is very crowded at this point. The more moderate lane, and let me say, in the Democratic Party today, the more moderate lane is still pretty darn liberal.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about Amy Klobuchar or potentially Joe Biden, and one could argue that at least in the early stages, that being in that moderate lane is an advantage because, you know, there's a finite, let's say there's 100 voters, and if they're are 10 people on the left and two in the center, even if they don't excite quite the, as much attention, they're not going to be carving each other up. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, these various lanes. As it gets closer to the end and you got two or three candidates, then you're going to have to win it on your own. And the fact that one side is more crowded will cease to be an issue.
Let me get you out of here on the budget. In that, over the years, when you talked about the federal budget and the deficit, every guest would tell you, we can't keep doing this. Chris, I don't think anybody cares anymore. And we're $22 trillion in debt, and just merrily we roll along. You get that sense?
Well, it's interesting. I had Larry Kudlow, the president's chief economic advisor, on the show on Sunday. And I first met Larry Kudlow when Ronald Reagan was president. And he worked for David Stockman, who was the budget director. And there was a lot of talk then about the deficit being $100 billion, and that just seems unimaginable amount of money. Now it's unimaginable because it would be so little. That would be almost a surplus, you know, because we're going to have a $1 trillion
right.
budget. And he, at that time, they cared terribly about budgets. I'm not sure Reagan did about deficits, but he did. And now it doesn't seem to be much of an issue. And the frankly, the markets don't seem to think it's much of an issue as long as the economy is growing and unemployment is down, GDP is up. That's really what they care about. And I think that's dangerous because at some point it's got to become an issue when the debt as a percentage of GDP grows and grows and grows, and particularly, frankly, with the baby boomers retiring and not working and becoming more of a burden on the federal budget. So it's going to be interesting to see, but in terms of now, but into 2020, no, I don't think it's an issue.
Good interview with Kudlow, by the way,
last
week. Good stuff. Fox's Chris Wallace. It's part of my Sunday. Should be yours. Fox News Sunday. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Bill.
Another one in the race on the Democrat side. Michael Bauer talking about this Beto O'Rourke, former congressman. Guy waves his hands a lot.
There's got to be a clearance around him, not for his safety, but for the safety of people anywhere close by as those hands begin to wave around here. Yeah, that Texas Democrat, Beto O'Rourke, jumped to the 2020 presidential race yesterday by jumping up on countertops at coffee shops in Iowa, shaking up this packed field. Now, I technically think it's 15 individual Democrats that are running in 2020 here, and he began his campaign by his first trip to Iowa ever, getting on top of those counters and talking to folks in Iowa coffee shops across the state yesterday, talking about how we should not allow our differences to define us at this moment and that history calls us to come together. There are some that are in Iowa that are seeing Beto O'Rourke from the Democratic side right now of more of a centrist element from the Democratic side, certainly less of the left-wing progressive portion of the party here, even though he got up on those countertops and was talking legalization of marijuana, as well as the possibility of a universal basic income, all while waving those arms and gesturing fervently, they're still seeing him as, at least their inclination is, seeing him as more centrist than you've seen from the Democratic Party lately, and certainly its candidates.
He was the guy that ran against Ted Cruz, lost, but it was closer than a lot of people thought.
That's absolutely correct. And so he had a huge wave of popularity right as the midterm elections were kicking in November. He lost narrowly to Ted Cruz, but that wave kind of stuck around for a little bit. The popularity was there for Beto. We've seen hats all across the country with Beto's logo on it, even though he was just running in Texas alone. So that kind of energy, his off-the-cuff style, made him a huge sensation in Texas at that time, kind of garnered him some fandom across the country, and he's now taking that across country, hoping that will pay off for a presidential bid.
Now let's get Joe in this thing, and then start thinning the herd a bit, and we get some debates and that sort of thing going.
Absolutely.
All right, Michael Bauer on it. Have a good weekend, pal.
Enjoy yours, Bill.
5:53, did you see pro golfer Phil Mickelson says, yeah, his family used this same company, Operation Varsity Blues, to help sort through college offers for their kids. No indictment of Mickelson or his wife, don't get me wrong, but interesting he had to come out and tweet that, yeah, we paid him too. Crime Terrorism Analyst Brad Garrett on this investigation. As, 750 families they think were helped. There's several people already in court. How did the FBI get involved here, Brian?
Now, here's what happened, Bill, and this happens so often. You're working a case, I think they're working a securities fraud case against, I'm going to guess, a prominent white-collar, probably wealthy guy.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, look, I got a bigger fish for you. And then he turns them on to, I believe, the tennis coach at Yale.
Okay.
And then they go, basically, he sets the tennis coach up. Then the FBI approached the tennis coach. They flip the tennis coach. Then they apparently get a wiretap and go up on Rick Singer's phone, the ringleader of all of this, get him on tape. Then they flip him. And so the combination of coaches and Singer that they flipped allowed them to then get all these other people on tape, or a number of them on tape, which now have led us to, you know, literally dozens of people being charged.
Brant Garrett on the News to Play Out, 555 News Radio. Let's enjoy some food and beer. Our buddy Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, has been busy lately tracking down a few stories for us. A great follow on Twitter, too, by the way, mbona30. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, first, take me to the queue. Amazing. It's really like a construction area. I mean, you still have, obviously, the Cavs and the Mac is there this week as well. You got to have a chance to sample some of the new restaurant taste there, right?
Yeah, and you know, Bill, I'm old enough to remember when you went to an arena or a stadium and you got maybe a lukewarm hot dog, a cold pretzel, and a watered-down lager were your only choices, and an expensive soda with a lot of ice. Now, I mean, this evolution of the quality of food in arenas and stadiums nationally is a big deal, but locally, everyone here is keeping up with it. Case in point, Quicken Loans Arena, as part of that physical transformation, they've added a couple new restaurant offerings right by. They just opened Saucy Brew Works in what they're calling the South Neighborhood. This is the part of the arena that faces Progressive Field. But they have a very strong local chef's emphasis. So the two new restaurants that have just gone in, Jonathan Sawyer's Greenhouse Kitchen and Karen Small's Market at the Fig. Now, Karen, of course, runs the Flying Fig in Ohio City, and Jonathan, everybody knows, runs the Greenhouse Tavern. He's written books. He has a lot going on. What I like about this is a lot of different offerings, about 20 offerings, two restaurants, but they're adjacent with separate identities. So you can go in one line and you can mix and match. You can order from one or the other or both. You pay once, you get your food, and then there's plenty of room to stay there and eat. So the queue has really kept up the pace with, I think Progressive Field started this a few years ago, and now the queue has really done a nice job with the local food offering.
You're right. Come a long way from you know, being with your dad, and you know, you're lucky to have two mustards to choose from, possibly, for your hot dog. Yeah. All right. At the queue, some great food options. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Also tracking down some interesting competition. Take me to the Akron Art and an Ale Beer Competition. When did Warmer Fest 2 happen?
Yes, last week, Saturday, is really was probably the biggest day, or one of the biggest days of the year if you love craft beer in Northeast Ohio. Winter Warmer Fest sold out yet again in Cleveland. This is a fundraiser for the Ohio Craft Brewers Association. That's the lobbying arm for the craft brewers. This is a very, very popular fest. 1,500 people, windows on the river. I've got a story on Cleveland.com/entertainment that details some of the news that came out of the brewers. But the neat thing about this is, as I always say, the brewers show up for this. They mix and mingle with fans. It's an indoor-outdoor event. I really love it. Unfortunately, I think I'm at the point where I'm ready to say this needs to move to a larger venue. Mm. Maybe not unfortunately, maybe fortunately.
Yeah.
It's getting pretty packed. It's a beautiful venue, windows on the river. I love the inside and outside aspect. But it's maybe outgrowing where it is. And then the other fest that was held that day, the Akron Art and Ale Fest and Competition. I love this one because, well, for one, I get to judge, but there are two competitions. There's a People's Choice competition, so you vote openly on what you like, and then the judges, we chose our top five. So I'll say this, the top choice, the People's Choice Award, went to Arche Brewing for their Shandy. That's an Akron brewery. And then our winner, a blind judging, now we knew the styles, we didn't know the brewery or the beer. We chose Goose Island Beer Company's Bourbon County Stout as the best among five. Now, we tasted quite a few.
Yeah.
That was a tasty one. And four of the five, the other four were all based in Ohio, the other brewery winners. So a lot of fun. Took place in the atrium of the Akron Art Museum, and I really look forward to that every year.
Fun event. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, mbona30. Always some good stuff up there. Mark, thanks, pal. Appreciate it. 6:50. Interesting news this week in the pro-life movement in the state and in this country. Enough stories. I want to spend a few minutes with Michael Ganadakis for some perspective this morning, president of Ohio Right to Life. Kind enough to join me this morning. Michael, thanks for the time. First of all, appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill, for having me.
We'll get to the heartbeat bill, but let me go to the courts first. Headline is the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals did rule that Ohio's law defunding the state funds that went to Planned Parenthood is constitutional. Now, let me set the question up this way. For those that want to see Roe v. Wade overturned, I have read and heard the court needs something in front of them that's moved up through other courts. Is this movement in that direction?
Absolutely, Bill. This could be the case. Look, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals is one heartbeat away from the United States Supreme Court. It's seen as one of the most influential court of appeals in the United States. And this sent shockwaves from coast to coast when they ruled in our favor. Look, the Sixth Circuit's made up of 17 judges. And this was an overwhelming decision. Two-thirds of those judges ruled in our favor in Ohio. This wasn't a divided court. This wasn't a split court. 11-6 voted in favor to uphold Ohio's law.
This specifically talking about the tax dollars, correct?
Absolutely. And what the court said was, look, the state of Ohio can decide where their tax dollars go, number one. Number two, they said there's no corporation in the United States that has a constitutional right to tax dollars. It's up to our legislators, who we duly elect, and our governor, who we elect, to decide what to do with our tax dollars. And number three, they said, look, at the end of the day, as long as we have our dollars helping women, whether it's a community health center, a community action agency, doctor's office, hospitals, that's okay. And that's exactly what we're doing in the great state of Ohio.
Give me a time frame. I mean, things work slow in the courts, but could this get in front of the Supreme Court in the next year or two? What do you think?
Absolutely. Now, look, this law that the court just upheld, we passed it in 2016. It was signed by then-Governor John Kasich. So you're right, Bill. Wheels of justice grind slowly, unfortunately, in our country. So projecting this forward, this case can be in front of the United States Supreme Court. We predict, legal scholars predict, they should say, within the next, I'd say, 18 months, if the Planned Parenthood decides to appeal this decision and go to the court. If they don't, what the Sixth Circuit ruled is the law of the land in the United States, because even though the Sixth Circuit ruled about Ohio this week, it also applies coast to coast. So I think you're going to see 49 other states pass the exact same law that Ohio did, because now we have a Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals that says it's constitutional.
You and I have talked over the years in different places and times, and you keep using the word incremental. If indeed Roe v. Wade is ever going to be flipped in this country, there has to be incremental change at the state level that works its way slowly up there. So that case is one. Let me ask you about the heartbeat bill as well. That passes the Senate. That's an important part of this, too?
Oh, absolutely, Bill. I'll tell you, the nation's watching Ohio yet again. And our Senate this week, our great Senate President Larry Althoff led the charge to pass the heartbeat bill. And now we head to the House, where the Speaker of the House has already said we were going to fast-track it and get it to Governor DeWine to sign as well. We believe that could be a second vehicle to challenge Roe if Planned Parenthood doesn't challenge what we just won this week. So we'll have a heartbeat bill, and about 12 other states are doing the same thing. Look, a heartbeat is the greatest indicator of life. You know, we use that to determine if someone is still alive, whether they be young or old. And what we say with this legislation is the moment an unborn child has a beating heart, we should protect that life. And we should cherish it and help that woman have her baby and get health care and have all those wonderful things. So we passed that. We know it's going to get to the governor's desk and he'll sign it. It's the next in our incremental approach, as you said. We passed the late-term abortion ban, so Ohio will never be like New York. It will never be like Virginia that are passing these grisly abortion allowances up to and through the ninth month of pregnancy. We are Buckeyes, and we set a standard here with the heartbeat bill.
Interesting week. Michael Gunadakis, president of the Ohio Right to Life, with a couple of stories that are playing out in our state. Michael, I appreciate your time. Thanks much.
Thank you so much.
Heart Radio.
Movies for the weekend. Kevin Carr checks in. FatGuysTheMovies.com. The big juggernaut has been Captain America as far as huge ticket sales. Morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good, buddy. That thing has been huge. Maybe a little competition this weekend. Let's start with Captive State. I'm scratching my head. Machine Gun Kelly and John Goodman?
This one stars John Goodman as a guy who works within the government after an alien invasion has taken over the world. And the aliens have occupied all the cities. It takes place in Chicago, where this group of just a terrorist cell, basically, of people trying to stop the aliens, this ragtag group of rebels as an insurgents trying to stop the aliens and do some terrorist attacks, like blow up some events that happened with the aliens attending. It's an interesting look at that, because it does sort of take it from the level of the insurgency, which we're used to seeing on the news as the bad guys, and these are, we're sort of taking it from their perspective. John John Goodman's tried to track them down. It's got some interesting things going on from sort of that flipped look at the way the world is, but it does drag a bit. I mean, it takes itself very seriously. It's directed by Rupert Wyatt, who did The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, but it was a little bit of a slow-moving film to get through.
All right. That is Captive State this week. How about Machine Gun Kelly? What's he do? Jurgis?
What was that?
He's Jurgis, I think, in the thing?
Yeah, I'm not...
Didn't stand out?
Yeah, it's a...
All right.
Yeah.
He's one of them.
One of them, yeah.
All right, how about Wonder Park? Tell me about this thing.
This is a kid's movie. It's an animated film about a girl who has sort of created this amusement park, an imagination amusement park with her mother. And they, when her mother gets sick, she sort of tries to leave it off on her own and tries to grow up, but then stumbles onto a world where the amusement park actually exists in reality, and she runs into the characters that she created and the insane crazy rides that are in there, and she's trying to stop that from being swallowed up by this nothing. It's sort of an allegory for her emotions. I mean, it's a cute enough movie, but it does sort of push all the right buttons at the beginning. It's somewhat standard. It's something you would expect to see direct to video.
Yeah.
You know, it's not great, but I think maybe the littlest kids might enjoy it.
Jennifer Garner, Matthew Broderick, too, involved in that.
Yep, and Mila Kunis. A bunch of different voices in there.
Wonder Park joins Captive State, also out this weekend. Climax and Ruben Brandt Collector. Kevin Carr is at FatGuysTheMovies.com. Check out his weekly podcast, too, and the website, FatGuysTheMovies.com, for different review and movie news. Good stuff. All right, Kevin, thanks much. Have a good weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Our city, our country, our world. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Big night last night. Wow.
I think one of the most wonderful things about the way that this whole tour...
iHeartRadio Music Awards, Taylor Swift, good for her.
For, like, the entire 6 months leading up to the first show of this tour, every headline that I read about the tour was, this is going to be a massive failure, this is going to be a flop tour.
She laughed all the way to the bank, and to the Tour of the Year award last night at the iHeartRadio Music Awards. What a night. Fun stuff, amazing performances. I told you, I tried to get word to you on Facebook and Twitter, there's going to be something last night. Garth Brooks and Chris Pratt, wow. Thank you again for casting your votes, thumbing up your favorite songs, and watching the show last night. If you missed anything, check out all the highlights, including the list of winners, iHeartRadio.com/awards, or follow me on Twitter at BillWellsWTAM. I tweeted everything out there for you. People Magazine, too, with a huge article about the iHeartRadio Music Awards last night as well. Complete Cavaliers coverage now on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Jim Jones, Dallas, where they'll have the game tomorrow night, in Orlando last night. Morning Cavs update brought to you by Huntington. Looking for a bank that looks out for you. Welcome to Huntington. Morning, Jim.
Morning.
Let me ask you a big question. Just because, and we don't want to specifically talk about a player with the draft. I get that with the big guy, Zion Williamson from Duke. Having said that, you and I and Mike and I, we talked about the game. At every level, it's 3 point, 3 point, 3 point.
Yes.
But, and a kid like Big Zion can hit a 3 point, but... Is it only 3 point because we don't have the big guy right now? Does it go back and forth in basketball, or is this what we're going to see for a long time, you think?
Well, I think the game is going to change well. I think more teams are going to be playing zones because of the fatigue factor, and also they want to keep the offense in front of them. And I think that's going to change. That'll stay the same. But what you've seen is that it's three-pointers, and it's at the rim. There is no mid-range, and that's what confuses me about Zion. You know, I don't know if he has a three-point shot, or I don't know if he can get to the rim at his size. He's 6'6", where everybody else is athletic and strong. I wonder how proficient he would be. The other thing is that I haven't seen him shoot many mid-range shots, and the mid-range game is a contested shot, and a contested shot is 20% lower than an uncontested shot or at the rim. So the percentages would say that he would have to make some changes in his style of play. Or if he's really that good, he can be whatever he wants to be and still dominate, but that remains to be seen.
Well, he was really perfect last night in his return, and he really is a fascinating prospect. Jim, for the Cavs, probably less said the better about last night. It just wasn't there, was it?
No, I think the third and four nights got to them. It's sad to say because we used to play a lot of three and four nights and still played strong, but the game is so different. The pace is so fast now that fatigue is a factor, Mike. They didn't have an edge on offense or defense or from the bench. Kevin didn't have an advantage. Just everything was just a bad game, and I guess that happens.
Now, tomorrow you will see up close Luka Doncic, the likely rookie of the year. He had a big game last night, although Dallas lost to Denver, Jim. He is a special player. We look at some of the young talent in this league now. This young man has had a great year, and it looks like he's just going to be something special to watch for years to come.
Yeah, and I think he's an inspiration for any foreign players. You know, the kids in Africa and the kids in Europe and the kids in Asia. I just think he's an inspiration. People have to remember that he's just not all of a sudden a great young player. He's been with a professional team since he was 13. He's been with Barcelona. He's been drilled. He's been his mind has been adjusted to think like a pro. And the NBA was just the logical next step for him. So he's way ahead of our young kids as far as the way he approaches the game. Doncic is a heck of a basketball player, and he's legitimate 6'8", still doesn't have any muscles, and once he fills out and gets strong, wow.
Good take. Jim Jones, he and John Michael in Dallas for tomorrow night against the Mavericks, 8:30, back here Monday at the Q against Detroit. Complete Cavaliers coverage at News Radio, WTAM, 1100. Jim O. Jones, thanks, partner. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, guys.
See you, buddy. Good stuff. Good take on Zion. Boy, he's right. The three-pointer, or just take it to the hole.
Yeah, and I think that last night what I saw him make, he made one three, yeah, and goes to the basket. He is just so unique. Jim Boeheim said some things after the game yesterday I thought were very, very interesting, and Boeheim's seen them all. He was talking with him, like talking about him compared to Barkley, but almost really couldn't compare him to anybody else, just to say that he's right in that elite group.
Good highlight package, plus places to enjoy St. Patrick's Day and some video of people that have enjoyed it too much over the years. All at willsandsnyder.com, by the way. It's 828. I want to work in entertainment guy Jason Nathanson, a couple of stories. And let's start with this college admission scandal. A lot of celebrities, Felicity Huffman, we've read about, seen her in court. Lori Loughlin was also in court this week. And I guess she lost her gig on the Hallmark thing, huh?
Yeah, and she's really one of the faces of that channel, starring in a show, When Calls the Heart, Garage Sale Mysteries, which a lot of people loved, and so many of their Christmas time and holiday movies, which are the big thing that everybody loves on the Hallmark Channel. She's been a part of that for years. So for them to walk away from her is, you know, a huge sign of people backing away from everybody involved in this, but also that they didn't want to be associated. And I got to tell you, I tweeted out about this announcement when it came down, and yep, the info from Hallmark. Do not mess with Hallmark Channel fans, because they are among the most rabid people on the internet, and I had no idea. I mean, they are just incensed about this, and I let them know that this show, When Calls the Heart, which she's on, which is three episodes into season six, that it's probably the rest of the episodes of the season probably aren't going to air, and they jump down my throat. They're called Hardys. I had no idea this group of people existed. So, just a lesson to you. If you thought talking politics on the internet was crazy, try talking about Hallmark Channel TV shows.
Don't mess with the Hallmark now. Look, there's so many levels of this story in so many ways, but yeah, her daughter, the one I keep seeing, the Instagram video, she's on the Olivia yacht Jade with the chair of USC's daughter. Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, Olivia Jade is her name, and she was a prominent YouTube person before all this started, and just yesterday morning, before her mom lost her job at the Hallmark Channel, Olivia Jade lost her big endorsement with Sephora, because when you are a YouTuber and you're young and pretty and of a certain age, makeup is a big thing, and a lot of her videos were makeup tutorial videos, and so because of that, she started a line of makeup with Sephora, just like Kylie Jenner and a lot of those people have done before, and it was doing very well. It was sold out, And yesterday, I'm looking at this line of makeup and all the comments. There's 59 comments on it. 49 of them are 5-star. People really like this stuff. And I'm refreshing to see what's going on with it, because then all of a sudden, about 200 1-star reviews popped up. And they're calling her a cheater and don't want to be associated with her. And that's bad news. So I refreshed the page to see how many more. And it just disappears. The makeup line itself just disappears. So I contacted Sephora and I said, hey, what's going on? And they said, oh, well, you know, of course, with everything happening, we're ending our deal with her. And that's, you know, everybody, and she's the kid in this. And you got to wonder, did she know about the cheating? Did she know what her parents were doing, allegedly, or not? And whatever the case is, she's getting caught up in all this. They're saying the kids can't go back to USC because of bullying. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with them.
I mean, you're in L.A. It's a huge city. There's so many things going on. Is this still, though, some conversation in that town?
Oh, 100%. This is a huge conversation because of USC.
Okay.
Because of the families involved, which are a lot of very prominent L.A. families with a lot of money. And just shows you, I mean, there's, especially in L.A. here, there is a definite divide with the haves and the have-nots. And a lot of people in L.A. with the property values so high, they're just struggling to get by. And then you see these people who have so much money, and there's a special fast lane for them that we all knew about, but we didn't know exactly
how it worked.
The wheels worked. Now we do.
What a story. Good stuff. Sorry you're getting the feedback from the Hallmark people. If you want to follow Jason on Twitter, it's at ABC News Jason. He's a good follow, though.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
And there's my courtroom artist, the drawing of Felicity Huffman in court, which you're not going to want to miss.
Good stuff. Hey, have a great weekend. Thanks, partner.
All right, take care.
Araldo in Cleveland, by the way, coming up at 9:05, talking about the news of the morning. Let's get you a traffic update here, because it's making news right now on Dead Man's Curve. Traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons. Here's Pat Butler. Pat?
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, for an injury lawyer with experience, resources, and results, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Overall, highways are moving really well, except for one spot. If you're heading into downtown from the east side, we've got an overturned semi that has the inbound East Shoreway closed down at Dead Man's Curve. That's backing up almost to MLK. There's a fuel spill they need to clear up, so it's probably going to be shut down for a little while. You can continue on Route 2 West into downtown and head over to East 9th Street, or you can get off at East 55th, possibly, and head down to Superior or Chester and cut back to the Innerbelt if that's where you're heading. This report is brought to you by Circle K. Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 9 a.m. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 a.m. and 1